Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report. It is Monday the 11th of July. We have Charles Firth, Dom Knight, and back with us, Sammy Shah. Hello, Sammy. How have you been?
I'm good. I just want to apologize before we go any further. I did not ask my Newsweekly subscribers to go to your podcast page on iTunes and leave reviews for my podcast on your page, but they've done it themselves, and now I'm going to actively encourage it.
So you did in
a
way.
It's going to get a lot worse.
You did in a way by being good when we have you on. I think that's the problem here.
I went and checked it out because one of your interns contacted me, and he's like, your fans are leaving stuff on our stream. And I went and checked out the review section for Chaser on iTunes. And there's like two different comments saying this is good and Sammy Shah's Newsweekly is better. And I'm like, you know what? This sounds like a really cool trolling thing. I wish I thought of it. So now I'm going to co-opt it and actively encourage all my subscribers to ruin your rating.
Yeah, the stupid thing is that we've stopped asking people in our podcast to leave reviews. We used to read them out and stuff and talk about them, but it got a little bit traumatic for some. And so but since we stopped doing this incredibly boring thing of saying, oh, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, make it 5 stars, will you? People don't. And so occasionally you get an odd one going, oh, where are the interns? Or going, oh, Sammy's so much better than you. So please leave a review. Help us defeat Sammy. Yeah.
And also, having listened to some user feedback, are scaling back the amount of time that we spend drunk on this show.
That was useful, yeah. So we did 4 weeks of live in the pub, which is why we didn't have you, Sammy, because you're obviously in Melbourne. There's no pubs in Melbourne, just wine bars, that's my understanding. So we didn't do that with you.
So Sammy, did you know that for the last month we've been every day in the pub?
Yeah, drinking.
Drinking in front of
which
a live
I knew
audience.
You were doing that. Yeah. I didn't realize that there were some sooks who were complaining that you were too drunk. What kind of lunatic complains about someone being too drunk on a pub based podcast?
In a very, very fortunate series of events, though, Sammy, the drunkest that I was, which was the second record that we did.
Oh yes,
which was a total catastrophe.
It was awful.
I'd actually been drinking from about sort of 1 p.m. that day. So I rolled in
literally rolled.
Yeah. Literally rolled, right.
And I think there were complaints even from the live audience about my incoherence. Luckily, the Roadcaster stuffed up.
It was a rare bug.
Oh. Yeah. And so
saved by the machines.
Not only did none of that reach broadcast quality and go out, no one outside of that room heard it. But we also got given by Rode this fancy new...
Yeah, Rodecaster Pro 2.
Which is just fucking way fancier. Incredible, yeah.
Hey, can I make us some money for a sec?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just a second. Here are the ads. If you don't want to hear them, go to chaser.com.au/podcast and subscribe to the ad-free version or listen to this.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Chaser Report. Now with extra whispers.
There we go. We've made a small amount of money from that. Anyway, thank
you
for indulging that.
When people just hit the 30 seconds forward button on the iPod on their app, podcasting app, it just jumps the ads anyway, right?
Because
the
ads are
30 seconds.
But no, it doesn't work. We value our advertisers.
No, but the point is that... Wouldn't you pay $9 a month for somebody to push that button for you, Sammy? Yes, you would.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. That is a bargain, in my opinion.
We have also, there's a subscriber exclusive episode, which I'd love to get you to do sometime, Sammy, called Drunk Q&A, in which we take questions from the audience. And the problem is that the drunk apply to the rest of the podcast as well. We're supposed to be a subscriber bonus hearing us all loose and a bit out of control, whereas that became the whole week.
Yeah, so we're going to go back to just a normal chaser report.
Numbers dropped sharply.
The thing I do find, though, and Charles, you might be able to attest to this, is day drinking is not something I can handle anymore.
No, definitely not.
I attempted very recently, went to a friend's house. It was a very bougie lunch where, you know, there was wine and there was oysters and all of these things.
And recitals of Henry Lawson poems?
Pretty much. It was close to that. I mean, we played Dungeons & Dragons, but that's my version of a recital of Henry Lawson poems.
Henry Lawson wrote some amazing poems about Dungeon content. Masters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. He was all into halflings. But the thing I discovered was it took me a day and a half to recover from that.
Yes.
Like, I had migraine for a day. Yes. I was useless the entire evening. Mm. My child luckily knows how to cook. Otherwise, she would have gone hungry that day because I just took a nap, which started at like 5 p.m. and ended at 10 o'clock at night.
How much of that, though, was the booze and how much of it was the Dungeons & Dragons just warping your brain?
Look, as an ardent D&D fan and supporter, I will blame the wine. Oh, I also did have a lot of wine, yes.
But wine's the thing that gets me. This is the thing that I realize. I don't drink wine anymore. It just knocks me over. I feel sick. I vomit. Yeah. It's terrible. Just a cheap plonk, just, you know, red for me or spirit sort of. I can't do white. I can't do fancy Aussie Chardonnay or whatever anymore.
Oh, to be fair, although it was Aldi white, so, you know, it's going to have a sharper after effect than most good quality whites would.
What was, instead of Chardonnay, were you drinking Bardonnay or something?
Yeah, basically. It was, I think it cost $7.
Aldi.
Which is very expensive for the Aldi whites, yes. Mm.
A Greeno Pre.
What a great idea.
Almost the
wine label, but you actually don't know what it is. Yeah. Perfect. But I mean, Aldi, there are good things at Aldi. There are some good things, aren't there? There are a few products that are not entirely shit.
Oh, the dishwashing pods.
That's
from
the
Aldi.
One thing I buy from Aldi.
Yeah, yes. Fucking great.
Oh, they taste delicious. Wait, no, that's what we're doing? No?
I'll tell you what, though, the hangover from those dishwashing pods.
Yeah, brutal. Yeah.
It's called Binish.
I like Aldi products. I will defend Aldi. Aldi does most things pretty well, especially on Christmas time. And I think I've done this rant on your show before, but around Christmas time, Aldi comes out with a lobster special, which is in the frozen food section.
Wow.
And it is like a full-on lobster thermidor that you just take home and grill, and it is phenomenal, especially given the fact that it's Aldi. But I will defend Aldi.
I mean, anything that Germans do well, they like chocolate. The Aldi chocolate is excellent. Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, the Aldi version of drumsticks, which are called crowns.
Bumsticks.
They're called crowns. Yeah.
Crowns.
And they... Crowns. They are good, and they're so much cheaper. It's like $9 for a 4-pack at Coles for drumsticks. At Aldi, it's like $3.20 for four. It's like 80 cents
just
per cornetto.
Don't think about what happened to the chickens.
No! This is the crowns.
You mean the
drumsticks?
Oh, like the cones?
Ice cream.
Right.
What
happened to the cows then?
Yeah, I was thinking about chickens this whole time as well. This changes the entire equation. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. And their butter is good, Butterflea.
Mm-hmm. Is that really called Butterflea?
It's called Butterflea, that's right. Yeah.
And you can get over the notion that it has insects in the butter.
Butterflea.
I've had fleas.
But also I would eat insect-like based foods at this point.
We're supposed to be eating more. People are saying crickets.
Give it 10 years.
Eat crickets.
Yes, exactly. Although, no, except, did you know, this is breaking news, Australia's sole breeder of crickets has gone broke.
Oh, no, and this is bad news in your house, Charles.
They've shut down operations. You cannot get crickets. And, in fact, I went to the pet store the other day to buy some packets of crickets to feed our bearded dragon.
To feed your children.
Yeah, children, yeah.
Charles has a bearded dragon called Flood.
Yes.
Who consumes crickets. So you go in there and think, oh, look at those little crickets running around. Oh, they're all food.
They're all food. You've always got to stock up. Like, you breed the crickets, but also you sort of run out after a while.
I have so many questions when you finish. Continue first.
And so I talked to the pet shop, and they said, there are no breeders in Australia of crickets anymore. So if you find any, you should go and grab them. So I did a dash all around Sydney yesterday trying to find crickets. Like, I would ring up a place and they go, oh, we've got 2 packets left. And it's like, oh, keep them. Keep them for me. I'll be there in 20 minutes. You know,
This is the supply chain shortage that no one talks about. But yes, okay, I just have a question. So Aldi drumsticks, a dragon that eats crickets.
Yes.
You're basically at this point one ponytail away from polyamory. Like, this is literally the direction you are headed in.
Well, be very careful. Because I live very near Charles. When I first moved into the same street.
Yes, that's true.
Charles took me on the, sort of stood in the middle of the street. Charles just did a bit of a tour and said, there, swingers. Bear swingers. I just pointed all the different houses. Now, I want to be clear. This is information I have not used as yet or been invited to use. Lady, but I mean, Charles had a suspiciously good knowledge of where the polyamory hotspots were. It turns out the inner west of Sydney is ripe with people who are bored in their marriages.
It is true. I think it's something to do with having kids who are in primary school age.
Oh, you meet at the school where games,
where you meet all the local parents. And then you sort of end up getting drunk together for the next 5 or 6 years.
Mm.
And then they're all bored middle-aged people. and half of them have sort of decided, well, we'll spice things up by inviting other ugly middle-aged people into our love circle.
I've heard that occasionally the school gate can be an absolute minefield of different affairs going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because this is something my daughter's starting primary school in January, so I've got to get up to speed on... I need a bit of a map about who's screwing who.
Well, you can update me because my kids are leaving primary school. No. So you'll need to keep me in the loop.
So that means, fortunately.
I'm sorry. My daughter's now 13 and in high school. I have not had any such experience. What? I am now offended. I have never been invited to a swingers party. I've never been invited to an orgy. Oh. What vibe am I not giving out? That
attractive.
I think it's too
attractive. That's it. No, but I must say, I'm quite relieved, Charles. As a very old friend, that because your children are leaving primary school at the same time that mine are starting, we won't have to have a foursome.
I mean, it's just
this is what's happening in our suburb. There's just no risk now. Yeah, I think that's a wonderful thing.
What a huge relief.
But Sammy, come up to the inner west of Sydney for a few weeks.
Not a drunken podcast. I just want to reiterate, we're not drunk right now.
No, but if I had started drunk, I mean, it makes total sense. If I wasn't working, and if any other parent said to me at 9:05 on any morning, do you want to have a drink?
Yes.
Of course I would say yes. Yes. It wouldn't matter who they were.
Yes.
And then anything can happen from there. It's 9:05 and you've opened the vodka.
That is the tradition. When both of your kids finally are at school age, the first thing, you know, my wife and I did was we went to the pub. Yeah. It was like 9 o'clock we went. It was the first time in like forever that we've actually been free.
So I used to live in a country town in WA, Northam, in Western Australia, before moving to Melbourne. And not every morning, but frequently I would see the police drug and alcohol testing parents outside the school as they're dropping the kids off.
Oh, my God.
And it would often be some parents would be testing positive for drug and alcohol.
I'm so impressed. This is 9 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I can understand why the school pickup. I aspire to be unable to drive at 3 p.m. most days once my kids start school. But 9 a.m., was this because they got so smashed the night before that they still weren't clear? Or being farm workers, did they start boozing at 5 a.m.?
I think they started boozing at 5 a.m. I think Northern life encourages being hammered all times of the day.
No, look, I haven't been to Northern. But I imagine if you have enough booze, you're not in Northern anymore.
That's right.
And I mean that with great sympathy for anyone. Sammy, you've gone to the least northern place you could find other than Sydney. You almost made it out.
I did go back to Perth recently for the first time in 5 years. I was there for a run of comedy shows and some work stuff. And
Like a homecoming? Like, were you welcomed?
Well, look, yes. Meeting some of my friends was great. A lot of comedians and stuff who I haven't seen in a very long time. It was wonderful to see all of them and to discover that none of them have written new material since I left Perth. But
well, things don't change. That's the beauty of WA. Yeah. It's still also, the 90s there.
And Mark McGowan helped them out by locking everyone in so that everyone had to go to their comedy shows regardless of the material.
Genuinely, it is a time warp. It is the same. Like, I saw people getting drunk and punching on in Northbridge who I saw doing the exact same thing 5 or 6 years ago, and I don't think they've aged. It's like he built a time cocoon around
Northbridge is the only place I've ever been out in Australia, I think, other than Fortitude Valley at 3 a.m. in Brisbane, where I've genuinely felt worried about getting bashed or getting lost. Like, it's the only place that actually felt dangerous is Northbridge.
Absolutely. I call it the King Hit capital of Australia. That's, there you go. That's WA's second largest import, export, other than mining goods, is King Hitting. But it was, it's the same strange thing. So when I was in Northam, going to Perth used to be a joy for me. It used to be a treat.
The big smoke.
Yeah. It's better than Northam. Now, going to Perth from Melbourne, I realized Perth is now my Northam.
Yes.
Like, that is, that it was grim and depressing to be back there.
Well, people breathalyzing at 9 a.m. in the streets of Perth.
I don't think, I think the cops have given up over there. I don't think, I think that's a battle they lost a long
I mean, that
time
said, ago. Sammy, I think we might have mentioned this previously. Perth audiences are the, some of the best anywhere, at least for us.
They're just always happy.
There seems
always
enormous
happy
gratitude. And I, now I know why. The comedians there
they're
haven't
all
updated
hammered
their material in 5 years.
Yeah, they're going, oh, you can do comedy that's not about Glee, can you?
Well, it was funny because, like, you're right. They always are the best audiences. They, they buy tickets to everything. They support the arts amazingly. But while I was in Perth, I did about 4 or 5 shows. I got invited to 2 different events to be like, hey, corporate gigs. You know, where they're like,
wow,
hey, we're opening a restaurant or opening a hotel. We'd love you to be the comedian there. And each person who contacted me said, we saw you perform comedy. We haven't seen anyone doing what you do here. We'd love to have you come on board. And I realized, because in Perth, like, being me is unique. Whereas in Melbourne, I'm just another hack struggling to make get by, because there's 1,500 other people doing what I'm doing here.
Which aspect of it is it, Sammy, that cuts through? Is it about your cultural journey? Is it about your relationship journeys? Is it the political satire?
I think it's the fact that I didn't spend 10 minutes on stage just calling Amber Heard a bitch, is what they really appreciated about my comedy.
How have they heard of Amber Heard in Perth, admittedly? I'm quite curious to know.
I think they still think of her as the actress from Aquaman 1, and they just saw that and they hated her performance in that.
Should we do this? Should we do a podcast show over there? Do you think, having just slagged them off for quite a long time, if we did a row of podcast shows there and got Sammy along? Well, I mean, the people love Sammy in Perth. They probably would come.
Yeah, no, they would come. Yeah.
The problem is we would be able to afford the plane ticket.
They're the only ones who, if you slag them off, they have a good sense of humor about them.
Okay.
Them and one guy in Brisbane who always tweets me.
Yeah. I guess they're across the idea of Perth being a long way from everywhere, given that they have to live there. Well, look, if anyone in Perth is listening and wants to put a lot of money on the table to get us over there, we'll do it, won't we, Charles? We'll go.
Yeah, sure.
Has that ever worked? Enough money. Have listeners ever said, hey, we will fund your holiday?
Yes, funnily enough.
We're going to some festival in Adelaide, in the Adelaide Hills, some wine festival, and they're paying for us to go over there to do a podcast.
At a vineyard?
Oh. At a vineyard. It's in the cellar room. Like, literally, we're going to broadcast
in
from
front
cellar
of booze.
Yeah, in front of booze.
Yeah, this will be a drunken mess, which will be, thank God, the roadcaster won't record it again. Probably.
Imagine, Perth, this too could be yours. Middle-aged men banging on about how dissatisfied we are with our lives.
Yeah.
Booze adjacent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Chaser Report. News you can't trust.
So, Sammy, did you ever make the mistake of investing in cryptocurrency?
Oh, God, again.
You know, so here's the thing. I never did. And the only reason was because I knew that anything I'm interested in will automatically tank. I don't do well with investments. Anytime I've ever tried anything investment related, if I put $10 right now into Apple, all of Apple will somehow, and a sinkhole will open up under Cupertino and the whole building will disappear and everyone will go, what the fuck happened? So I was like, oh, I'm interested in Bitcoin. That means it's probably not a good thing and I should stay away from it.
Yes.
And I did. And my own advice to myself paid out. I didn't lose any money.
By the time this goes to air on Monday, I'm pretty sure the entire cryptocurrency universe will have collapsed. Because
I don't know a single person who bought crypto and is now hemorrhaging money that I am not happy that they're suffering. Every single friend of mine that who's losing a shit ton of money on crypto actively deserves it. I can honestly say.
Well, I mean, Elon Musk, it's quite enjoying to watch the world's richest man make a lot of money on Tesla on the one hand, but then fuck it all off on Dogecoin simultaneously. But the one thing that I must say I picked, and I'm a terrible investor as well, Sammy. I'm probably a parallel to you. Is I did pick that NFTs were bullshit.
Right, yeah.
Because I remember doing all these interviews about it and explaining, so what is an NFT? Well, I was like, you can buy the original version of the Nyan Cat, that annoying gif that sounds like this. You can buy the original one. And you kind of go, but there isn't. It's digital. There's like a million of those on servers around the world. And they're like, no, we're going to authenticate one of them on the blockchain to be the original Nyan Cat, and that's what you can buy. And so all these idiots have created all these NFTs.
Mm.
It's gone. It has tanked. It's something like 90-something percent of the value of the NFT market has gone down the toilet. And the great thing is it's the one investment in history that I have that was so stupid that I picked it in advance. I'm quite pleased with myself.
My younger brother was obsessed with it, and I knew it was bullshit because he liked it and his judgment is worse than mine, even when it comes to anything and everything. And so, therefore, I knew right at the moment he said, "You got to check this thing out." I was like, it's a terrible idea.
What about? There's a firm in Singapore that just lost 99% of its investors' money.
Wow!
But its thing was it was quite interesting because it got an AI to do market analysis, and the AI went, "The one sure bet at the moment is to short." Cryptocurrency.
Short everything.
To short cryptocurrency. Right. So they shorted cryptocurrency, but then they let the AI execute the trades. And every time the dip, it went back up as I think they were shorting Ethereum or something. Every time it went back up, the AI would sort of go, oh no, I've made a mistake, and would cut the trade short. And so they made it, even though they were attempting to short, as the currency dropped, they lost all their money.
Right.
AI was like a sort of nervous investor.
At this point, it's just nice that the AI didn't do something racist, because it turns out every single AI that Silicon Valley develops for some reason can't recognize black people or whatever. So yeah.
Well, I think actually the reason why the AI wanted to short cryptocurrency was because there were too many Asians involved in it.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. So the AI and Pauline Hansen had the exact same approach to their life choices.
Probably.
That's true, because we've all spent collectively through those stupid captures, which are apparently about to get banned, you know, like be made obsolete, fortunately. We've been training all of the Google's, you know, image recognition for generations on what's a truck, what's a level crossing, what's a traffic light. But we've never actually gone... Is this a man or a woman? It's quite complicated.
Google should have been asking us what's a good company to invest in, what's a bad company.
Exactly.
As part of the capture process.
What's a good human being, what's a bad human being? Yeah. Pictures of different people, like a poor person and Elon Musk. Yeah,
well, because their old motto was, don't be evil. Yeah.
Oh, that's
they abandoned that. They could have actually asked users to say, is this thing that we're planning to do evil or not? But no, they didn't want to know.
So did you buy any Bitcoin, Charles?
I did, actually, at one point.
Sad story.
Well, I used to mine it. Like back in 2012, but back when it was 40 cents per Bitcoin,
As you stroked your dragon, is this part of your evening at all?
No, but it was just a joke back then. It was like the Dogecoin of its era. And we just, we had like 30 computers in the top floor of our office at that point. And it was back when you could actually mine it using your own computers. And so we just took them all together, and every night it would mine a few Bitcoins. And I think it was like 5 or 6 a night. And it was ridiculous because we were going, oh, that's great. It's produced $2.40 worth of Bitcoins. There's 6 Bitcoins. Great. Let's go and buy 1/3 of a pizza. And then the company collapsed, right? Like we just, wound up the company. And I have literally about 100 hard drives in my basement, one of which would have a Bitcoin wallet with presumably millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. But I can't find it. Like I keep, you know, every few months I go, okay, I should probably go through it. And you
just
know.
You've got interns in the office with you right now.
Yes.
Send them into the basement. But give them a 10% cut to justify their work.
But Sammy, like if you like there is a problem with that method, right? Which is if you're an intern and you discover something that's completely untraceable and your own if you've discovered it.
True.
Why would you go, oh, yeah, I'll hand it over, honestly, 90% of it to, like, especially if it's worth, like, $250 million or something. You're not going to do that. You're just going
to.
Yeah.
I also think part of Charles's brain is actually not wanting to find it on purpose because it worries about what will happen to Charles if he finds all
$1 million. I don't want to
just change. More dragons, more school swinging parties. Yeah. It just becomes a mess from there.
Well, also, I mean, Charles, clearly there's a vacancy for a cricket breeder.
That's going to be my next big play.
Investment.
Is to go into cricket breeding.
Yeah.
I've heard that the price of lettuce, because you feed them lettuce, of course.
Is that why they've gone out of business?
That'll be a great business decision. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well done. I'm very excited to be on the Chaser Empire when you have your own yacht from the cricket industry. Yeah,
right. Well, normally in this chat we rip through most of the sort of big political stories of the week. I think at this point we've covered none of them. So it's probably time to stop.
Well, we should actually probably start the record. Are we recording?
Started. Let's give that a go. Yeah,
that was all preamble.
All right.
Let's start the searing inside of political satire.
How about now. Boris Johnson, eh?
Yeah, he's a cad. Yeah. that's being the Brit said, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's Peter Dutton done today?
Here's the thing. It's kind of bizarre because I'm like, you know, like I do a news satire podcast as well. And it's really hard to make fun of the government when they're not doing anything ridiculously outrageous. Mm. They're doing silly shit.
Yes.
But it's not enough like mocking worthy.
Well, you've got to recalibrate. I think we just got so used to the easy task of, Scott Morrison's.
I have to research more now. I have to think about context when I'm thinking about is the Labour government's decision on this a bad decision? And it just takes the fun out of writing these jokes because they're harder.
This same thing happened with the transition from Abbott to Turnbull. And my friend Andrew P. Street wrote a very high-selling book about Captain Abbott.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tried to do it again with Malcolm Turnbull.
No.
And the punters were kind of like, I don't really need to read a book about like I'm just mildly disappointed. I'm not angry. I'm not amused.
Exactly.
So you just got to change your sides. So you just have to make comedy out of Albo being mildly disappointing and Labor sort of reverting to its underwhelming ways. And it's not as much fun as hypothetical car parks.
But exactly.
Labor will get there. Give them a few years. They'll build those hypothetical car parks. They'll announce hypothetical car parks and not build them. I have every confidence.
I like hypothetical car parks is probably the most complicated sentence we've ever said on this podcast in terms of like a tongue twister.
Well, that's why they didn't build them. too hard to conceive.
Hard to pronounce.
But you see, the thing that you don't have, which you at least had under Rudd, was you remember the Craig Thompson and all those
people who
use their credit cards to go into brothels and all that sort of stuff. It doesn't seem to be anyone like that.
Yet. But the other problem is in Rudd, you had someone fantastically ridiculous with his language and his
disappointing from day one.
From day one, Albo's just not at the Rudd level.
And I think also part of the problem is it's now basically a plurality between men and women. The more women you have in politics, the more sensible and just sort of like there's no wank desks when there's plurality of women. Like,
well, I miss the wank desks, good old days. shucks.
We know Labor by now, right? Somewhere in head office in Sussex Street, there's a very, very dirty. It's a desk or it's a brown paper bag full of cash. It's also been soiled. I'm not entirely sure what's going on.
Hopefully it's full of cash and not, and not a wank bag.
Still labor. should we leave it on that note? That's what the guy said with the desk after all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just walk away from this.
Go away.
Leave someone else to clean it up.
See you later, Sammy.
Yeah, thank you very much for having
thank
me back.
Thank you, Sammy. Nice to have you back.
Bye.
Our gear is from Rode Microphones. We are part of the Acast Creator Network. Catch you tomorrow.
Charles, what did you do to the desk?
Oh.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.